FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's March 29th, 2018. A lot of gyrations in the market. A lot of trends seem to be breaking out. Well, let's find out more about it. We will talk with none other than the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. Before we get started, as always, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com, or you can leave a message on the hotline, 914-424-4142. Mickey, welcome back.
Hey, thanks a lot, Kerry. Good to be back.
As always, so interesting month behind us, under the belt, huh?
It was a very interesting month. Very volatile markets. I kind of like that. It gives us entry and exit points. But it ended up being the worst March in 17 years for the markets. Dow was down almost 4% on the month to 24,103. It's actually got a 2.5% loss on the year. S&P 500 down 2.7% to 2641, a 1.7% loss over the year. And the NASDAQ down 2.9%. That was mainly Facebook toward the end of the month, closed at 7063. But it's up on the year, 2.3%. Finally, Russell 2000, much different trend. It was up over the month, but down over the quarter, ends up at 1529, down a little less than a percent for the year.
Yeah, so the broader market is kind of holding steady here. That divergence is always cause for concern when the big stocks are heading one way and the broader indices are heading the other. Could be meaningful here. So looking at...
Yeah, I think what's good, you know, we were so long overdue for a correction. I mean, the markets are up 25-30% since Trump was elected, even after this pullback. So, we needed the 10 to 12% correction. It looks like that is in. And the markets remain volatile. We'll see where it goes from there.
Well, my buy recommendation, and you know I never make recommendations, and it's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, is buy Facebook, sell Zuckerberg.
Sell Tesla.
Yeah, well, you might be a little late in that game.
Yeah, well, those are called stop losses, Gary.
Yeah. Yeah, well, for a company with very little to recommend it other than the vision of the founder, you know... Arguably, it should have never gotten where it was, but here we are. And looking at the TSX, it's more of the same.
Yeah, TSX had not such a bad month. It closed at 15,367, down 0.5%, but down a whopping 5% over the year. And that has to do, number one, I think, with NAFTA and Trump's trade tariffs, and also... Canadian oil is in a world of hurt. They've lost 168 drill rigs have shut down in Canada over the last month.
Yeah, well, they're going for alternative energies. That's their prime minister's bent, if you will. Like we need to get rid of oil. So real practical. TSX taking it on the chin again.
Yeah, it looks to me like we may be in the usual post-PDAC curse. We were down 4.5% on the month, almost 7% on the quarter and year so far. We are now at the level at 792, equal to early December during the heart of tax loss selling. There's just basically no interest. Volumes are very low.
Yeah. And emerging, not doing too well either.
No. And that really, I think, has to do with China. The emerging market index closed 1174, down 3% on the month, but still up almost 1.5% for the year. The trade war with China, or the threat thereof, has certainly weighed in on that market. And finally, the VIX spent probably averaged around 20 for the month, closed just under 20 yesterday. So the markets are volatile, but if you look at the history of the VIX, this is not unusual, and it's actually probably kind of average for volatility.
Hey, and just remember, it was only a few short months ago. We're talking September of last year. The VIX was at 9.51. Now, not, and that's the closing, obviously, was down even lower at one point. Now, 19.97, and it's been a lot higher. Last month, it was up to 51 intraday. And this month, it's been in the high 20s periodically. So volatility is the, like we said last month, the month before, volatility has come back with a vengeance. And then we go over to our money, and a lot of red there, but interesting developments.
Yeah, the U.S. dollar didn't move a lot over the month. It was pretty much range-bound with the exception of a couple of days, plus or minus 90, range-bound from 89.5 to 90.5. Closed the month just a bit above 90 for a almost 2.5% loss on the quarter. You know, the platform of the Trump administration is a weak dollar, and we're certainly getting it. That euro up 2.5% on the quarter. It moves in exact opposite lockstep of DXY, and that makes sense because it composes 57% of the value of DXY.
Exactly. And then we look at our 10-year treasuries and surprising move there.
Yeah, treasuries were off over the last week, closed at 2.74% on the 10-year bond. That's the lowest since February 6th. The big movement in the month, of course, was the Fed raise, which happened mid-month with our new Fed chairman, Jerome Powell. That was expected. We got a 0.25% raise with the growing economy still calling for another 3 raises within the next year. One thing I'll say about Jerome Powell as compared to Helicopter Ben and
Jumpin' Janet there
and Old Yeller, as I like to call her, his accent is not nearly so abrasive. I think he's from Washington, D.C., and not from New York City. and he is a lot more photogenic than either Helicopter Ben or Old Yeller were. So you can actually watch the guy on television and not cringe.
Yeah, well, you know, Bernanke had a nice beard. You got to give him that. So moving on to Bitcoin, boy, all that glitters is not Bitcoin, is it?
Well, Bitcoin had another crazy month, closed at 7,080 for a 32% loss over the month, a 50% loss year to date. It may be Easter holiday, but Kerry, none of my eggs are going into the Bitcoin basket.
Yeah, well, you know, I know a lot of billionaires who are no longer billionaires, Bitcoin, crypto billionaires. They're now only worth $500 million. So, you know, I guess you got to take your lumps. But what's really interesting, Mickey, is that, you know, on December 17th, I wrote an article saying it's going to crash. And not that I'm prescient. My main indicator was the New York Times had really turned against it. There was negative articles appearing all over the mainstream media about how manipulated Bitcoin is, which I don't take issue with, but also that it was just a bubble waiting to burst. I see this as somewhat orchestrated, really irrelevant. It's like I said, take your profits when you can take them. Half of infinity. If Bitcoin's going to infinity, Mickey, then you should be very content to have half of infinity, sell off half of it, sit back and wait.
Well, it had its run, and I doubt if it will ever get to $19,000 again myself.
Well, that remains to be seen. You know, the death of Bitcoin has been greatly exaggerated, but let's see what happens. Hey, going off to the metals, you know, just gold and silver, they're just kind of stuck.
Yeah, gold is stuck. It's been range bound between 1310 and 1360. for about 4 months now. Basically, when the dollar goes up, gold goes down and vice versa. It actually hit 1355 on Wednesday, and then the dollar went up. It closed the month at 1320.25, up a half percent over the month, but up almost 2% for the year to date. Silver, just there's not a lot of good to be said about silver right now. Despite gold going up, silver went down. It closed at 1635, down 3.5% for the quarter and year. The gold silver ratio is now at 81. We'll talk a bit more about that when we get to the ratios. Platinum slipped back from its big run-up in January, closed at 930, down 5% over the month, basically flat year-to-date. The platinum-to-gold ratio is now at 0.7, wow, which is an all-time low. Meanwhile, palladium, which got way overbought, set a record for price back in January, corrected. It now sits at 949 for a 10% loss so far on the year.
Remarkable. Well, interesting trends here. And, you know, gee, the metals, silver to gold, 81. You have some thoughts on that, don't you?
Yeah. Usually in a normal situation, I would take a gold silver ratio above 80 as to be a buy signal for silver, but I don't see any upside for silver right now. So I'm going to revise one of my rules of thumb and kick that up to 90.
90. You think it's really going to hit 90?
It has before, so why not?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. When it starts getting into the 80s, though, we really start to wonder. You really
got to keep a closer eye. Well, Kerry, when you start buying silver, give me a call and let me know.
All right. I'll let you know. Don't worry.
Okay.
I will.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I don't know that it's necessarily a buy, but it certainly is interesting. Let's put it that way. All right, so looking at copper, Mickey, Dr. Copper seems to be perhaps flashing a warning sign.
Well, I don't really know. The industrial metals are all down off their highs with all this going on with tariff talks, and that really impacts the industrial metal world, especially copper. Copper was down to 302, 3.5% loss on the month, over 7% for the quarter, and actually went down to 297, which was a three-month low. It bounced back about $3 over the last couple of days. I think what we're seeing here with very strong demand, both in China and the U.S. with a booming economy and Trump's supposed infrastructure build-out pending, markets just got a little spooked. There were some pretty major inventory shuffles, especially with the LME and the COMEX inventories up. But that can probably be argued that was movements from Shanghai, and that really upset the speculators. So don't know what to tell you. Copper is backward on the front month here, but a very strong forward curve going 6 months out.
Interesting. And then, of course, we look at our energy sector, which had some interesting movement there.
Yeah, supply-demand worldwide is balancing, and we're starting to see that reflected in a much stronger oil price. The U.S. shale boom is keeping prices under wrap a bit. We are now approaching 10.5 million barrels per day. No doubt the world's largest oil producer when you take in our substantial natural gas liquids and condensates. The arbitrage between Brent and WTI has gone back up. So let's take a look at prices. WTI closed the month at $64.91, up over $3 for nearly a 4-5% gain on the month and 8% on the quarter. Brent closed at 70.27, 7% on the month, but only 5% on the quarter. That, or Brent to WTI arbitrage is now at 1.1, which is really good for U.S. exports. Meanwhile, Henry Hub was in the toilet with a warm spring season in the Northeast tier, and we're approaching the low demand season. It closed at 264. That's down almost well over 9% on the year. Uranium, once again, it remains range bound between $21 and $22, closed at $21.13. It's down 12% on the year. But there was some interesting news coming out of the DOE. Secretary Perry has ceased DOE sales to the spot market. If you remember, Obama would dump 5 to 7 million pounds on the spot market every year to fund a cleanup of Portsmouth and 800 union jobs in Ohio. There's also a rumor that the DOE, the Trump DOE, is going to make a rule where U.S. utilities are required to supply a percentage of U-308 mined in the U.S. to fuel their nuclear reactors. The rumor is that could be upwards of 25%. Meanwhile, on the negative side, news out yesterday, two more nuclear power plants, one in Ohio and one in Pennsylvania, are scheduled to be shuttered. That's not going to happen anytime soon, and I did not have the time to look into the schedule on that. We'll see if it actually happens.
Well, that kind of wraps it up for the month. So interesting price movements, especially when you look at all the markets together, because they're all connected. And we will pick up where we left off next month for April. Anyways, check out Mickey's site, and you find it at mercenarygeologist.com. Twitter feed is at mercenarygeo. Check out our site, financialsurvivalnetwork.com, and our Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. We won't bother with Facebook for now. And Mickey, we'll catch you next month.
All right. Embrace volatility, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.